true peace starts with being born again. It starts with knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Without knowing Jesus as your Savior, you'll never have peace. You need to know Him as your Savior. You need to be born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So many of us, you know, so many Christians or people think they are Christians are born of the Word. They know the letter. They know the Ten Commandments. They know the laws of Moses. They know everything that they need to do in order to be holy. But that doesn't produce peace and also doesn't produce salvation. Let's read John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received Him, this means as many as received Jesus as the propitiation for their sins, as many as received Jesus as the one that obeyed on their behalf, as many as received Jesus to say by His deeds, by what He's done, by His death, by His resurrection, and by His obedience, I have been made righteous. As many as receive Him as their Savior, to them He gave the power or the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, believe by faith we have been justified, and that's why we've got peace with God. So before you can have peace, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Before that, you will just have condemnation. You will just have rejection in your heart, and anything that you do in connection with God will only be to get rid of your guilt, to get rid of your condemnation, and just you will just do things because you are striving for peace in your heart. But peace comes by faith, by believing in Jesus Christ. Not by believing you've got peace, by believing in Jesus, peace is it's a fruit in your life. It's a fruit of believing that all your sins has been paid for. So let's not be born of the Word, born of the letter. And what I mean by that is to have a legalistic mindset, to have legalism in my relationship with God, to think that by what I do, I'll have a new life. It's by what we believe and in whom we believe that will give us a new life. Let's read verse 13. It says, which is not born, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So people who believe in Jesus Christ are those who are born again. They are not born of blood, neither are they born of the will of the flesh. That means by just being in the right bloodline, by thinking that you are an Israelite or a Jew, by just being in the right bloodline, you think you've got salvation, you make a mistake. It's not what the Bible says. Those who believe on Jesus Christ are born again. And the people that will inherit the kingdom of God, the people who will enter into the kingdom of God, the people that will have true joy are those who are born of God, not born of blood, neither born of the will of the flesh. Now that means to have a new man stand up inside you, to have something new being resurrected in you, because you've just decided that what you were busy with weren't good for you, and now you decide, well, I'm going to change my life and I'm going to live a better life. That is just repentance. Now, repentance is good and we should repent, but repentance doesn't bring salvation. Believing on Jesus Christ bring salvation. There's a lot of people that are in jail today. They've repented of what they've done wrong, but they're not going to heaven because they've not received Jesus as their Savior. They don't believe on Him for salvation. They don't believe on Him for righteousness that can produce peace in their lives. The next one, so what it says is, not by the will of the flesh, by your willpower, nor by the will of man. So nobody can decide, well, this child's going to go to heaven and you just preach him right into heaven. No, he must make a decision for himself. He must believe on Jesus Christ and then he shall be saved. Hallelujah. He will be born of God. But, this it says here, but of God. We need to be born of God. Isn't that beautiful? Let me just read that scripture again from verse 12 and you'll understand in context. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, it says. Jesus Christ became your body. He was obedient on your behalf. He did everything on your behalf so that you can have peace. Now let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 14. And we're going to read right there from verse 27. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, it's very important that our hearts will not be troubled. And I'm still going to speak about the heart, but I just want to bring this in here so that you can just have a better understanding of the Scripture. If your heart is troubled, it means your belief system is in turmoil. Your heart is not your spirit, and it's not your mind. Your heart is your subconscious mind, or it's your belief system. It's the thing that you believe with. Because the Bible says, with the heart a man believes unto righteousness. If you believe that a certain type of car is not a good car, whenever you read a magazine or whenever you read an article about that car, you will never see where it performs well. You'll only see where it performs bad and what the negative points are. Because you can only see what you believe. So Jesus Christ knew that if our hearts is unstable, if our hearts is not grounded and rooted in peace, if there's not peace in the depths of our innermost being, we will live a life of turmoil. We will be double-minded, we will be unstable. There will be no peace, and His kingdom will not be able to function through us. That's why I believe He just brought peace into our lives. And this is what He says. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you." Now imagine the peace that Jesus Christ has where He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Imagine that. Imagine the peace that He has, that everything, every need that He has, if He could even have a need, is met in the future. Do you think that when Jesus asked the Father, there's just any doubt in His mind that the Father will say no? Never. He's got absolute peace. Remember, the word peace means to be joined together, to be in harmony. It means to enjoy the good. It means to have the joys of heaven. To have the emotion in your heart as somebody that prospers and knows everything has been paid for for the rest of his life into his future. Now that is the peace that Jesus Christ has. Now He said, "My peace I give unto you." He didn't say, "I give you some peace" or "a piece of my peace." No, He said, "My peace." The peace that there is between Jesus and the Father. When Jesus talks to the Father, do you think that Jesus for one moment thinks that the Father is scrutinizing Him? Or that the Father tomorrow will just say, "No, well, there's something wrong with you"? No. Jesus forever will have peace because He knows that everything He has done is perfect. He knows that He has obeyed even unto death. Now the peace that Jesus has because of His obedience, because of what He's done, because of the way the Father feels about Him, because of what He got right in His death and resurrection, because the peace that He has because of His resurrected body where He's seated at the right hand of the Father, that's the peace that is given unto you. I said in the previous broadcast, when the Father spoke and He said, "Let there be light," there was light. When He said, "Let trees come forth out of the earth," it just happened. He just spoke and it happened. And then here He spoke and He said, "My peace I give unto you." So who are you not to receive it? Let's enter into the peace. What He says, you can enjoy the good as I am enjoying it in heaven. The joys of heaven in the body of a man, in this planet, in your body, in your mind. Hallelujah. Because you just know everything has been paid for. Your sins has been paid for. You are blessed. Amen. That's what He says. He says, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives." So many times we want to receive our peace from Jesus Christ and we say, "Well, Jesus is my peace. I receive peace. I know everything has been paid for. I know He's done only good things. I know that He loves me. I know that He cares for me." And you read a wonderful scripture like John chapter 3 verses 16 or Isaiah 54 verses 10 where it says, I will not be angry with you, neither will I threaten you. You read a scripture where Psalm 91 speaking about the protection of God and you feel peace. But then you lose your peace just the next day. Do you know why you lose your peace? Because you've taken the peace in the wrong way. You've received the peace of God as the peace of the world. Now, how does the peace of the world work and how does the peace of God work? The peace of God is easy. The peace of God is without payment. If you want to buy something, if you are in need of something desperately, you don't have peace in your house because you don't have that thing. You just go to the shop and you say, well, look at this. What do they have here? Yeah, they've got this thing here. I don't have money, but I can pay it off. So you start to pay every month and you receive that thing. You've got peace all of a sudden in your house because your needs are met. You don't have that desire for something anymore because it has been met. But you're paying every month. It is peace. It's the peace of the world. That peace is there as long as what you pay every month. The first month that you don't pay, they'll come and fetch your peace right at your house with their own pickup. That's what they'll do. They even charge you for that. So the peace of the world is a conditional peace. It's a peace as long as what you put in effort, as long as what you pay. Now that is not what Jesus Christ gives. He says, my peace I give unto you. Now the peace of Jesus Christ is a peace that you can't work for. It's something you enter into by believing what He's given unto you. You see, we've received the peace of Jesus Christ by faith, but we believe that we keep the peace of Jesus Christ by obeying the Scriptures. Now, I say we should obey the Scriptures. I don't even want to say that. If you just walk in obedience to the Scriptures, it is a form of godliness, but it's not the highest form of godliness. The highest form of godliness in my mind is to have God's nature written and engraved in your heart and in your mind. That out of your innermost being and out of who you are, you live a holy life. You don't say, I live holy because the Bible says so. I don't want to forgive, but the Bible says forgive, now I'm going to forgive. I'm just going to fight my flesh and I'm going to forgive. You know what? That's not a life of peace. That's a life of strife. It's a life of a battle from the morning until night. Battling the flesh. Why do you want to battle the flesh like an Old Testament believer? If you are in Jesus Christ, your flesh has been crucified, my friend. You've received a new nature. You see, that is such good news. It just brings joy into my heart. Your nature, your old nature has been crucified. Why do you struggle with something that's dead? Why do you live as if you still have an old nature? You might say, Bafti, but do you do something wrong? Well, according to the law, I might do something wrong, but I thank Jesus Christ that I've been delivered. I am free. There's no condemnation for me. I am in the Spirit. I don't walk after the flesh. I don't seek to be justified by the flesh. I seek to be justified by the deeds of Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? That's beautiful. That's the power of God. That is the good news of the gospel. That's the peace-producing message of God. That's the gospel of peace. Hallelujah. That brings joy into me. Man, I just feel like rejoicing, you know. I can't sing, but I can make a joyful noise. Thank you, Jesus, that you are so good to us. This is what it says, my peace I give unto you. Not in the same way that the world gives, give I unto you, but my peace I give unto you. Now, isn't that wonderful? Don't you want to receive that peace? You know, there's a place in the gospel where you can enter into the finished work of Jesus Christ that it becomes reality in your life. Like I said in the first broadcast, I mean, you can in your mind serve God, but with your belief system still be under the law, under do's and don'ts. You don't want to live a life struggling with your flesh. You don't want to be in this war, just saying, well, I'm resisting this sin, I'm resisting that sin. No, you want to be in victory. And that's easy, entering in by faith, by believing what Jesus has given you freely. The more you believe you holy, the holier you'll be and the greater your peace will be. Hallelujah, that is so, so powerful. Let's just look at another scripture in John chapter 13. And we're going to look at the life of Peter from verse 37. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus said unto him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Here is Peter. He's resisting the flesh. He's saying, well, I am going to serve Jesus unto death. And remember why I'm saying this. I'm talking about a troubled heart. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. I give you my peace. Now we're talking about a troubled heart. If your heart's troubled, you will just have havoc in your life. Don't have your heart troubled. Why does Jesus say, our heart shouldn't be troubled? Because there will be things in your life that will say unto you, well, you cannot have peace because of this and because of that. You cannot have it. He said, I give you my peace. And then you cling to that message of His unconditional love so that peace will always be flowing through your heart. Hallelujah. I'll go into my room and I'll quote scripture. I'll quote some of the scriptures that speaks about how much God loves me, how special I am, how much He cares for me, that He paid for me, that He looks at me through the eyes of love, that He has made me His righteousness, that He's made me wonderful, that He is that He's living and abiding in me and with me, that I am His son, that He says, I've given unto you the kingdom, that the kingdom of God is not coming with all these signs from heaven, but it's inside me. I look at all those things. I look at the scripture where He says, He cares for the birds, therefore He cares for even more for me. The scripture that says, whatsoever you ask the Father in the name of Jesus, He will give it unto you. And I look at Him as a father loving his child. Hallelujah. And that just brings forth peace. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, and that just brings my heart into stability. It keeps my heart stable, knowing how much God loves me. Now, let's look at the life of Peter. Peter said, I am resisting the fear of death. I'm going to die with you, Jesus. I'll never leave you. Jesus said, well, you're going to deny me. He just said, well, I'm going to stay with you. I'll die with you. Now, listen to what he says. If we read over into chapter 14, verse 1, and this is just going to hit you right in your heart, and this is going to bless you, because so many times we struggle with a thing. How can we have peace if we know we're going to commit sin in the future? Now, if we can know how Jesus Christ feels about sin in the future, it can bring peace in our hearts. Let's read. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Verily I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Now listen to what he says to Peter. Peter said, I'm going to stick with you. He said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times, but don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, but believe in me, that even if you've done this thing, that I can take you where I am. That's what he said. Hallelujah. That is good news. Peter, you're going to deny me. Deny. You're going to deny that you know me. You're going to deny that you've ever had anything to do with me. You're going to deny everything about me. I mean, Peter denied, called curses upon himself. That's what he did. And then he went fishing. That's what he did. He went fishing. He wasn't there with the 12. He was there at the boats. He just believed it was over in ministry. But Jesus said to him, Peter, don't let your heart be troubled. His heart got troubled because of what he did. He wept bitterly. Not that I say we shouldn't have a regret if we've sinned. If you've done something wrong, I mean, you can feel sorry for what you've done. But don't stay in your sorrow. Get out of it. Receive what Jesus Christ has given you freely and have peace. Amen. He said, don't let your heart be troubled, Peter. I am still loving you. He said, you're going to deny me. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, but believe also in me. Believe what I'm telling you now. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, Peter. Have you ever read that scripture in that way? Man, that is amazing. It is powerful. It's life-changing. So, when you have done something wrong, and that's especially the place where we lose our peace. You know, I can't even use those words. How can you lose your peace? You must lose Jesus to lose your peace. But just that we can understand. Where we lose our peace is once we just, when we do something wrong, just after that we lose our peace. Peter, in his heart got troubled. He thought that he wasn't a disciple anymore. He thought his Savior died and then he went fishing. But in the eyes of Jesus, in the heart of Jesus, he was also always a disciple. In his heart, he was not a disciple anymore. His heart was troubled. But the heart of Jesus was not troubled because of what Peter did. The heart of Jesus was established in what he is doing and has done for him. That he has obeyed for him. That he's dying for him. That he's going to be resurrected for him. That he's making a place for him. That is what Jesus said unto Peter. He said, believe on me. Just believe. Then you can have peace. Even if you are going to deny me three times. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I don't say that so that you can go and deny the Lord. I say that so that you can have peace when you've done something wrong. That you can come to Jesus. That you will not say, well, I've denied Him and now I just deny that I'm a disciple. And that's what I've seen. You know, I preach a lot among the colored people in South Africa. And we've got gospel crusades and we're just conducting open air crusades, tent crusades. And we see the power of God and people's lives change. But tradition has taught so many people, especially the people that we work amongst, that they are, if once they've sinned, Their whole salvation and their born again experience was not the truth. And I just want to say this, and I want everybody to hear this. You are going to do something wrong, but don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in the Father, but believe also on Jesus, who went to prepare a place for you, make life straight for you, so that you can have an easy life. That's what He says right here. Amen. So if you can just have your heart established in the good news of Jesus Christ, how much He loves you, how you are justified, and all of that, you will always have a mind that's in line with the mind of Jesus. Peter's mind was not in line with the mind of God. He didn't think about himself, the things that Jesus was thinking about him. He knew a lot of stuff about Jesus, but he didn't know what Jesus knew about him. Jesus knew he was his disciple. And you know, when Jesus was risen from the dead and he saw Mary, he said unto Mary, go and tell my disciples and Peter that they must wait in a certain place for me. Isn't that beautiful? He said, go and tell my disciples and Peter. And she went running. She had to say to Peter, Peter, you know, he mentioned you, your name. He said the disciples and Peter. And you know, they were waiting there and we read that scripture and Jesus came. The first thing he said unto Peter and the other disciples is, peace unto you. Look at my hands. Peace unto you. Amen. So I want you to know, when you've done something wrong and Jesus Christ comes to you or you go to Him, He's showing His hands. He's showing His side and it says, peace unto you. And you know what? You can live in that peace. That peace can just saturate your whole body, your belief system, to the point that that peace will get you out of your chair into the kingdom of God, doing something for Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? That peace can drive you. That peace can bring a stability that when you speak, there's authority. You know, if I go and I have a gospel crusade, and I mean, in our crusades, we advertise that the sick must come to the tent. So, I mean, we'll get people in wheelchairs, people with crutches, blind, deaf, all types of sickness, they are there. And if I'm at home, I've been busy, I've been working, something's happened, you know, getting some of the equipment ready or whatever. On my way to the crusade, I might be upset with somebody on the road or something. Not that I say I live this life of sin. I just want to paint the picture that you can understand practically how we can live in peace. So when I go to the crusade and I enter into the tent, I cannot enter in there based on what I've done the previous week. Because if I'm going to do that, I will have no faith to pray for the sick. I'll have no faith that anybody is going to be saved. But when I say, Lord Jesus, thank you for what you have done, I enter into this tent with absolute peace on what you've done, Man, I tell you, we see signs, wonders, miracles. People coming out of wheelchairs, the blind see, the deaf hear. The other day we saw a child born crippled with a hand shivered up like this, just becoming straight, running around, crying for an hour and a half after he got saved. The lady that looks after him, I mean, she just fell over under the power of God when she saw the miracle. Hallelujah. And that's what God has for you. I want to pray with you, and I want you to receive this peace which just supersedes all understanding. Let's just pray together. Father, I want to pray for the people that are listening to this broadcast. I thank you, Lord, that peace coming to their heart. I thank you, Jesus, that a consciousness of all their sins is removed from them right now as they choose to believe on Jesus for righteousness. As they choose to believe on Jesus for their absolute peace. I thank you, Lord, that you heal the sick right now as I stretch forth my hands. I say, sick, be healed in Jesus' name. Have peace that you can be healed now. Everything has been paid. Receive the power of God, the healing power of God in your body, and receive peace in your heart. Amen. Remember, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe on Jesus. Thank you for joining me. God bless you.